Senator Hassan, good Wednesday morning. How are you?
I'm well, Jack. How are you?
I'm doing okay, thanks. Thanks for joining us this morning, and I hope you've been well.
Couple
things. Let me jump right into this because it's one of those mornings, I guess, all business. Senator, some of your Republican potential opponents, or they're running in the primary for the U.S. Senate, have called your call for, I think you did it, you mentioned it first on this show, Good Morning New Hampshire, suspending the federal gas tax to give people a break at the pump. They're calling it a gimmick. How do you respond to that?
Well, look, we know how challenging making ends meet right now is for New Hampshire's families, and you look at the prices at the pump, and they're just kind of eye-popping, right? So I'm working on concrete ways to bring down costs for families, commuters, people who need to take their kids to school, and eliminating the federal gas tax for the rest of this year is one way to help people stretch that budget a little further and make ends meet at a time when we're seeing rising costs everywhere. And we also need to attend to some other costs, like lower the cost of prescription drugs, make it easier to afford child care. But this is one tangible, concrete thing we can do. And meanwhile, my opponents are talking about really parroting Big Oil's agenda. When you think about this right now, the big oil companies are making record profits. They're using those record profits to do stock buybacks that pushes the price of the stock up and makes those executives more wealthy. They're getting these massive windfall profits. And instead of helping consumers afford their product at the pump, they're really taking advantage of these two crises, the pandemic, which is interrupting supply chains, and the workforce shortage that is also part of the pandemic kind of aftermath, and then the war in Ukraine. And so I am proposing the gas tax holiday. I'm also supportive of windfall profit taxes on the big oil companies that would incentivize them to stop jacking up prices. I've pushed the administration successfully to release more oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. They could do more, and I'll continue to do that. And I'll push big oil to also take advantage of the capacity they already have. They have thousands of permitted wells that they're not drilling. They're not drawing the oil out of them, which they could to increase supply and help lower prices. So on the one hand, I've got opponents who are apologizing for big oil and defending them. And on the other hand, I'm looking at ways we can give people relief right now. And then we also have to pivot to more clean energy investment so that we can be independent from big oil and foreign countries.
Senator Hassan, you had said earlier a few weeks ago with the surging energy prices here at home that we need to do more domestically. One of the first things President Biden did as president was shut down the Keystone XL pipeline in terms of that federal permit. Would you be in favor specifically of revisiting the Keystone XL pipeline as a source for more domestic oil in America?
Well, let's first of all realize that if we were to do that, we're talking probably 5 to 10 years before we see any result from that. But what I'm really trying to get at here is that there's already untapped capacity in the United States that big oil could turn on very quickly that they're refusing to do. And so my opponents are kind of talking about Keystone because that's what big oil wants them to do, even though it won't have an immediate impact on prices or supply, while big oil is refusing to do what it could do now to really increase supply and lower prices.
Senator, inflation is something, as you're well aware, because we're talking about energy prices, that's made things worse. But inflation's been brewing for a while. We're talking things at the grocery store. We're across the board. I was talking to a Dunkin' Donuts owner, Senator Hassan. He said a box of bacon, one box of bacon for one of their Dunkin' Donuts here in New Hampshire used to be $80. Now it's $400 a box of bacon. So we've seen prices surge. There's just a study that came out. Because people in Washington point to different reasons, supply chain stuff, the war in Ukraine. But there's been a study, the San Francisco Federal Reserve, it just did a study. They say government spending, federal spending is the reason inflation has been surging. Too much federal spending, stimulus, and borrowing. Do you agree with that? Do you think some of these programs over the last 3 years have made inflation worse?
Well, let's just take a step back. I think when you talk with most Americans, first of all, they are rightly very concerned about inflation, and people have seen the impact of the pandemic on two critical areas, right? Supply chains, one of them, and work shortage is another. We've still got about 2 million people who were working before the pandemic who aren't, many of them predominantly female. And so there's a lot of different reasons that women, including a shortage of child care and disruption in our school schedules and lack of vaccine, you know, children under five not being able to be vaccinated. All of those factors are important, too. When you take a step back, where we were, for instance, last March, and why we did the American Rescue Plan, that was so that small businesses could stay open, law enforcement could get the money they needed to deal, among other things, with the pandemic on the front lines. We got shots into arms, and we got schools reopened, and they're now staying open. So there are a number of reasons that we're seeing the inflationary pressures that are here, and they are real, and as you pointed out, they are really impacting people's lives. But what we now have to do is move forward to help lower costs while we approach, you know, the really underlying issues around supply chains. We've got a competition bill we're considering this week in the Senate. My focus on that bill is bringing American manufacturing back home and making sure that we are manufacturing critical supply chain items here in the United States so that we can grow economically, create great jobs, but also be independent from other countries in the face of any other kind of global crisis.
And I know you've been working on that to make us more competitive, to make more things here, but to your point on the Keystone XL pipeline, that would take some time, maybe a year or two. Inflation doesn't seem to be going away, so the Fed is looking at a series of rate hikes. But does federal spending, if we spent too much on the economy to stimulate, do you think we need to pull back, is I guess what I'm asking, is one of the things in the short term?
Well, so one of the questions always is what do you invest the dollars in? For instance, and let's talk about ways we could lower the deficit and make sure that we are aiming our spending appropriately when we do. The bill, the competition bill that we're talking about, would invest in research and development here at home. American innovators and entrepreneurs are the best in the world, and bring manufacturing back here. That does take some level of investment. Now, lowering the cost of prescription drugs for consumers, which the most important thing we could do would be to allow Medicare to negotiate drug prices. Mm-hmm. That not only lowers the cost for consumers, but it also lower, you know, it saves the federal government money. And when you look at some of the measures that the president is putting forward in the budget, they are aimed at deficit reduction. We also have to really scrutinize spending and really exercise oversight. One of the things we just had a hearing in one of my committees with the Inspector General and the Government Accounting Office was to really push on why federal agencies haven't done better with the oversight provisions of the bills, you know, of the rescue plan, for instance. We put in critical oversight measures to follow the money and really combat fraud and abuse. And I don't think the federal agencies have done as well as they should have in following our direction there.
A couple of quick ones, I'll let you go. Senator Hassan, live. Good morning, New Hampshire, on this Wednesday. We thank you for the time, Senator. Real quickly, the president, day before yesterday, I believe, was talked about his proposed budget, the White House budget for 2023, which mostly would be a congressional matter, as we know, but made some news because the president had a press conference. One of the things in there was a proposed tax on so-called billionaires. Senator Manchin of West Virginia has already said he'd oppose that because you can't tax unearned income. What you know of it, are you in favor or not of that billionaire's tax?
Well, so first of all, I'm pleased that the president's budget increased funding for law enforcement in some critical ways. And that's something I'm working on the congressional side to make sure that we're addressing the needs of law enforcement and keeping our communities safe. I think it's important that the wealthiest Americans pay their fair share. I have to look closely at the president's proposal and make sure that we think it's workable here and meets a number of other measures. But the goal here is to make sure that wealthy people don't essentially sit on their earnings. They can borrow against their stock holdings, for instance, so as the stocks appreciate over time, they borrow money and they don't have to pay essentially tax on income that they're accumulating, unlike most Americans who get paid a paycheck and are taxed on it. So that's what we're trying to get at here.
And, Senator, we had John Delano. You know John Delano, the DEA,
on
show Monday morning. He was talking about fentanyl just still pouring into the streets of New Hampshire and Maine. Can we do more to stop this at the border, the southwest border, with the cartels?
Yes, we can. First of all, we have to continue to push the Chinese government to do more because, you know, we got them to list fentanyl as a controlled substance in China and crack down on fentanyl production there. But now they're doing the precursors to fentanyl and sending them to Mexico. And then, you know, and you can talk to Special Agent Delena about this. And then we're seeing the fentanyl come across the border. I have pushed, starting back with President Trump, to get more technology on the border that allows us to detect fentanyl. I'm continuing to push for increased resources for our law enforcement at the border for this very reason. And we need to continue to make sure we have all the kind of technology from the kind of technology that can x-ray a car as it's coming through a port of entry and see fentanyl stashed, you know, in a wheel well, to drones and other critical technology all along the border.
And, Senator, this is just one. We had so many. We posted that you're going to be on. A lot of our listeners, not political people, listeners, and one of the, I got about five of these people wanted me to ask you. I don't want to get into COVID fatigue. We know we all have it. It's been a tough couple of years. But one of the questions someone asked is, ask the senator if she thinks Dr. Fauci should be replaced with new leadership. Do you support Dr. Fauci at this point?
Look, I think our scientific community, and Dr. Fauci is one of the leaders of that community, have really worked very hard to get people the most up-to-date information as they can. We are all tired of this pandemic, and one of the next things we need to do is make sure that we continue to move forward and not have to go back to any kind of drastic, you know, measures like lockdowns or, you know, mask mandates everywhere. So what we need to do is make sure that we have enough vaccines and boosters on hand, therapeutics, you know, the treatment for COVID on hand, supplies for masks when people decide they do need to wear them, and testing. And that's how we need to move forward here and make sure that we're dealing with this pandemic in a way that allows us to live our lives and get back to normal.
Senator Hess, make it a great Wednesday. Thank you very much. We'll catch you soon on Good Morning New Hampshire on our News Talk Network, GMI Studios. Thank you, Senator.
Thanks, Jack. Take care and be safe.